So I'm gonna be honest with you guys. Last week when we were, or last time when we were doing Dune 2, Beals, you made a big thing, and I've had a couple people text me about how you made a big deal about going to, if you go to the movies by yourself, you're a loser. And I just want to let our listeners know that I went and saw this movie by myself today. Okay. And you know what? If that makes me a loser, so help me, I embrace that. And you know, get me a shirt, get me a hat, bring make losers great again. That's the hat I want.
No. I'm gonna get you a shirt that says I watch movies alone.
And I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I forced my wife to go with me.
You did. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, has she seen any of the other Ghostbuster movies?
Like
The original two?
the original, yeah. The
Okay.
nostalgic ones.
Yeah, the nostalgic ones, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
not the newest one. I actually haven't even seen the previous one.
Yeah, Stacy.
Okay.
She went with me. She was excited.
Matt, we didn't ask for your opinion, but
I know.
thank you.
I don't care, but I have to integrate my wife somehow. Reels, you and I'll have to go see a movie one of these days, so that way Green can keep going alone. Oh, only as long as we send a selfie.
No, we should do that.
I would love to. I think you two should, the next movie, I think the two of you should go see together. And I think the listeners want that. Matter of fact, if you guys could do a live feed of your thoughts and reactions
We could
while you're
live,
watching the movie,
I think that
would
would be
be
valuable.
fantastic.
We'll wear GoPros on our head.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
I see dead people.
Hasta la vista, baby.
You can't handle the truth.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
All right, so the movie this week, Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. There's actually some, I thought, some interesting worldview stuff in this film. So the whole movie, again, if you've seen any of the Ghostbusters films, it's very similar in terms of worldview. There is no heaven, there's no hell. Christianity, Bible is treated as any kind of mythical mythology, all that kind of, it's all kind of bundled up together as different thoughts and ideas about what could be part of the afterlife.
You
It's the
dissolve into the heavens or the space and just become a part of it. That was kind of what
yeah.
I got.
Yeah, I think they did have a sense of afterlife because they talked about that other world breaking in, right? So
Yeah.
there was something there. But I would say it was a syncretistic melding of a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
And so the statement was, we become part of the fabric of the universe when we die, right? And that is the pantheistic kind of Eastern mystical leanings of we all merge into the universe, which is God kind of concept, right? So you do have that. I would agree with you, Matt Green, in that this had a lot of worldview stuff. And some of the key things when we think about worldview, who or what is God? What is man? What is the problem? What's the solution? And what's the end? And I think it touched on a lot of those things. And so I think part of the issue is that they treat all kinds of religious thought as the same. They're all kind of myths that describe, have a little bit of truth in them that describe something. But they treated like
Yes.
the Sumerian Semitic myths as like they were actually real. And then they
Right.
looked at, they even mentioned in particular, I made a note of it, they mentioned Moses and Samson
Yes.
and as myths, right, in kind of the same language as some of the other different myths. But when it comes to this, and to be quite honest, Satan-like creature
Yes.
who has the ability to control the ghosts, which are demonic-like beings, right? I mean, they are presenting one part of a worldview, and that is the satanic part of the worldview.
Yeah.
There's no real mention about God or any kind of concept about
No,
God.
there's like a strong occult kind of feel and vibe with the film, right? What's interesting too, it back to something that you've pointed out in a lot of these films, Jason, is and we see this a lot in suspense thrillers, is that again, the man's part in this whole thing, right? Always a heavy focus on what man has to do, i.e., in this movie, where we have this melody, who's this kind of ghost, and she's talking about how she has unfinished business, right? She has to do some stuff in regards to, once she does that, once she accomplishes whatever it is she needs to accomplish, then she can move on to that next whatever part of the afterlife is. And it's really, and it's interesting because you get what you get with this movie is, there's no biblical worldview. And when that comes into play, there's no ultimate justice, no ultimate objective morality. With that, then anything kind of goes. And back to what happens when you're not able to dial in a specific worldview, you get this hodgepodge of stuff that doesn't, I don't know, to me, just doesn't feel consistent. I almost just wish they could just stick with something.
Yeah, but that's not how, I mean, right. And in reality, that's not how people work.
Sure.
If you were to just go talk to somebody who's an unbeliever, right, and you just ask them about their worldview, it literally is just a bunch of different pieces of different things that they resonate with, that they cobble together.
Right.
Even if they're contradictory and have no coherence, they still hold it. And that's really like what you see reflected on film is just what you see in life with people. I think the cobbled together worldview of all different pieces and scraps to paint a story is really how a lot of people are, even in their personal views about what is God or who is God or what is.
I guess it makes sense, right, Jay? Because the inner man who doesn't know Christ is grasping, right? And so grasping at all these different things, and then what you get out of that is the same thing when they go to write their art. It's what they're dealing with.
And yeah.
What were you going to say, Matt?
What, one of the things to piggyback off, you were talking about the Melody, the ghost character. There was one point where she was asked, you know, what's the worst part about being about a ghost? She said, I'll be 16 for an eternity. So there's actually an eternal perspective that's presented, even though just really quickly. And then you think about kind of the worldviews that's presented within this, like you said, the occult and kind of this hodgepodge of stuff. And you think about how sad it is that there's actually this eternal perspective, but it's really of nothingness. And like you said, there is no justice, right? Or no reward. There's neither. So when you think about that, what is the point of being good or bad when at the end of it all, there's just nothingness? Why not be who you want to be and do whatever you want to do?
Yeah, I think what that does is that it speaks to a bigger underlying theme of, you create your own destiny. You're the master and commander of your ship, that kind of idea. And you see that play out with three different characters, I guess. Phoebe finds herself, and it's through this, dare I say, suggestive relationship with Melody.
100%. I don't even think it's suggested, dude. Like it's they do all but kiss. Like it's. And
even the question is, was any of this real? Seemed to be like she had a crush on this ghost or whatever, right? So they were.
And what's interesting about that too, just in because you brought it up, I'm glad you did, because I think it's important to talk about, because again, this is a family film, it's PG-13, and yet there is this relationship between Phoebe, who's is the main character from the last film in this film, and this ghost character. And at first it just plays as this, and you don't even understand, it plays as this friendship. And then suddenly they're making comments and looks, and it comes out of left field. I'll be honest with you. It seemed weird. I'm like, why is that? That seems forced. Yes. Just because she's the outsider kind of nerdy kid. That means that we've got to now have a lesbian,
a ghost groomer,
kind of, a ghost lesbian love character. Like it's just. It felt forced.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Agenda driven for sure. And I think so. You see in her character, she has to find herself, even in some experimentation, right? Where she becomes a ghost type thing, so she can relate to the to her crush. You also see it with the fire starter guy, where he finally comes to his purpose, right? And so he even says, like, I am a god, right? And so he's, you know, fighting.
He says it jokingly, but yes.
But right. Yeah, and totally. And then you have so you have those two, and then the Melody character, you see it set up by the movie often. She keeps playing with the match, right? And right. And the very cause of the death of her family, because it seems to suggest like she killed her family in a fire. And so she had one match left, right? And that's like the match that helped the Firestarter complete his thing to save Phoebe, and you know, it all connects. But my point is they all have their purpose in life that has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with morality. It has, you know, it's their purpose. And then in the midst of that, what I think what you see really is a man-centered push that that really what matters is me and my journey and what I'm doing and what I need to do and the unfinished business I have, those kinds of things that ultimately work together to oust Garaka, the Satan demon master dude.
Yeah, the whole idea of self-fulfillment.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, and I like that you brought up to the point when Phoebe goes into this machine to kind of be this kind of astral projection of herself, because I feel like that's a metaphor for yep. her being able to become whatever yep. she can't be in this world.
Her inner self was able yes. to actually come out and
yes,
yeah. She yeah. came out of not. She came out of the ghost closet.
Right, ghost closet.
Listen, ghost generator.
And again, I'm a huge fan of the first two Ghostbusters. I actually, this may sound sacrilegious, but I actually prefer the second Ghostbusters to the first really? One. I like the first one. Don't get me wrong; it's classic. Yeah. But there's some stuff about the second one that I really like.
I can confirm, by the way, how much Matt is really into Ghostbusters. I'm gonna bring up a little story real quick. Little sidetrack, if you will.
Ooh.
Back in high school, we went to a friend's house and did a talent show, of which Matt and I can't remember who else was in your group did.
Yeah, there was Ghostbusters.
They had the suits. They had the photon packs. It was incredible, really. I think we won did the talent show.
I'm going to guess Green was Venkman.
Of course I was. Yes. Yes. Jeremiah Johnson.
Yeah, yes.
Well, yes. I believe Kevin Meduno and Spencer King yes. were the other Ghostbusters. We actually practiced the dance, so we did the Ghostbusters dance.
It was very well done. I remember it.
Thank you, thank you. Matter of fact, Fritz, I believe your wife was there.
Oh, she was. She
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
Little did we know, but yes, she was.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was always been a big fan of the Ghostbusters.
You know who wasn't there?
Jason Beals.
Me. I was.
That's finally. Right.
We weren't.
I have a moment.
Yeah, finally. Exactly. You have a moment.
That's what I've been working for.
I wasn't there.
Really the only reason I brought up the story. But you know.
Anytime you typically see the afterlife represented in film, it's that idea that the ghost needs to do something. So that replacement of Christ, right, who is the one that has to do yep. something for us to be able to have any access to God, it's nope. I have to be able to do something because we can't stand and to not be the one in charge of our own destiny. Right.
Yeah.
So it's a good reminder again. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know how, like just talking about the film. I thought the movie was okay. I'll be honest with you guys. I thought it was kind of boring and I'll be honest. Like to me, it felt like it didn't actually do anything until the last like 20 minutes of the movie. Like the yeah. villain creature doesn't come into the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I didn't really feel like there was any kind of stakes in terms of story wise, but I don't know.
Well, yeah,
I don't think they used Paul Rudd correctly either.
Yeah. I think they were trying to build family, right? I mean, that was like when we go through our checklist, right? The one thing that I think is good is they promoted some kind of family values, you know, looking out for each other, that kind of thing. But and even then, it was all jumbled.
Even a father, mother, even though the two aren't married. Yep. But she even said, and Phoebe calls him dad
yep,
at the end.
Yeah.
Like has a, and the mom even says like, hey, stick up for me.
Yep.
You know, so there are some things that there in terms of the family dynamic. That...
Yep. I would say, was it entertaining? Mildly. I think I enjoyed it more because of the nostalgic aspects that came out, you know, the video of the old, you know, Ghostbusters theme song and some of those things and, you know, and seeing the old guard come back and, you know, and do their thing. And
except, you know who we're missing on these, right? Who still has not come back?
Egon.
Rick Moranis.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Yeah.
Like,
why not?
He is some of the best stuff of part one and part two.
Yeah.
I mean, as Tuttle the accountant, he's brilliant. And
yeah.
who does your taxes? Yeah.
I think the whole, you know, spinoff with the Spenglers is because the actor died. So
they're not
bringing him back for reals.
Spoiler.
Ghost Dad.
Yeah, had you seen the last one, Jason, you would know that they did bring him back, actually.
Oh, yeah, see, that shows my ignorance.
As Ghost Grandpa, actually.
Ghost Grandpa. So,
one of the other things I like that they kind of portrayed in it, talking about the good, was friendship. When you look at, was it Winston and Ray, they come back together. Remember, they're kind of arguing, kind of like they did in the original ones in the hallway. They're like in the staircase, and they're arguing back and forth, and Winston was funny, like, hey, what are we doing? Like, why we are still arguing after all these years, right? And they kind of have that moment, but you see this value of friendship that's portrayed between these guys, and how even with true friends, you can be not see each other for a while and still come back together and everything still be the same.
That's true. Like this podcast.
That's right. We cannot see each other for a few days, not do a podcast, come back, and then boom, next thing you know, it's like we haven't seen each other in a few days.
Yeah, Beals, just so you know, Green and I go way back. I just want to make sure that's you may have dinner. I have history. Whatever.
I respect it. I respect it.
Thank you for listening to Real Profs, a production of the Center for Thinking Biblically. To support this ministry, please visit thinkbiblically.org/donate. To learn more about the Masters University on-campus and online undergraduate and graduate programs, visit masters.edu.